World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, good morning there on the 21st day of July 2026. Just to take a deep breath here. Think for me. I appreciate y'all. Kind of overwhelming when I turn on the computer, walk down in a multi-million-dollar studio. By the way, a multi-million-dollar studio is my basement. Okay. And I call it, you'd laugh if you came down and see that my ability to reach the world. Trust me. This, everything behind me is fake. That's a green screen. Show them, Spencer. Can you shut that thing off? I'm right behind me is a green screen. Here's what it really looks like. I'm not sitting in front of a stadium. I'm down in my basement. Spencer's going to show you exactly what that looks like. There it is. That's the green screen. And I don't know if you know this or not, but throughout all of, for I don't know how long, they've had green screen technology, and we didn't understand it. In other words, are you sitting down? They could right now, Spencer could right now, put me on the moon. Say what? Oh, yeah. So Spencer, try to do that real quick. See if you can find another background to put me on. And how long have they had this green screen technology that we didn't really understand? Yeah, this is great. Coach Dave's going to be on the moon. Watch this happen. The magic of the internet. Oh, Spencer, hang on. He's jibbing and jabbering here. It's going to get it up on the screen. Going to exit that background. He's going to come into this background. I'm trying to show you something here this morning. All right, stay with me. He said, "No, I can't do that." He's trying to do that. He's doing his best. There's the green screen. There I am. Okay, now he's going to put me on the moon. There. I'm on the moon. I'm on the moon. Isn't that cool? Coach Dave's the second Ohioan to go to the moon. Neil Armstrong and now me, 2 years later, I'm on the moon. And I don't know if he'd be able to make me walk on it, but who told you that and why do you believe him? That's the theme here at Coach Dave Live. Okay, got me back home. And if we think about green screen technology, maybe if we were to study that, I never have, where did green screen technology come from? And is there anything that's been more deceptive? By the way, folks, this is fresh off the head, okay? Ain't no preparation here. If they realized that they were able to use green screen technology and put you in places that you really weren't, where does that lead us? Do you know that a lot of times when you're watching your nightly news, I'm watching nightly news in forever, so I don't even know if people watch it anymore. Do you know a lot of times the reporter's standing out in front of a green screen? What? Yeah, the reporter isn't even where they say they're reporting from. Well, they might say they're reporting from St. Louis, but they're in the hotel room in St. Louis with a green screen, even though it looks like they're standing out in front of the arch. Lies, deception, and fear. Oh, my. Folks, it is all around us in every aspect of our lives. That's why yesterday I didn't get much feedback. I'm not saying it because I care about feedback. Talking yesterday about Talking yesterday about who the thief was. The thief. Now, for years and years and years in our churches, we've been taught that the thief cometh not but to kill and to steal and to destroy, and that the thief is the devil. And if you watched the show yesterday, we went through all through John 10 and The devil's not even mentioned ever. Yet in our churches, in our churches, we think John 10:10, the thief cometh but to kill and to destroy, that the thief's the devil. Why do we think the thief is the devil? Because they taught us that the thief was the devil. Vinny, give me a thumbs up, a boom, so that you understand. And so much of it's programming. And if I can pride myself on anything, when you come here in the morning, I want you to know that I try to throw aside all restraints, all personal agendas, all personal opinions. I try to throw all that away. I try to bring stuff to the table here that we throw a piece of meat on the table and we chew it up, we spit it out. And at the end of the day, excuse me, what's going on? At the end of the day, the multitude of many counselors is great wisdom. We come to the, an agreement that this is what it's about. And truth is really under assault. And I get emails and people contact me that they're so mad. They're so mad because I've pointed out something that they know is true, but they don't want to believe it to be true. Anybody know what I'm talking about out there? They get mad at me. And I said, listen, if I bring something to the table that you don't agree with, why do you get mad at me? I'm trying to give you a different perspective on the world. What's going on? Why does that make you mad? Because somehow for all of us, for all of us, we feel like we have to, what would be the word? We have to cling to or grasp or stand upon something that is true. It's important to us. And Psalm 11:3 says, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Hey, Spencer, look that up real quickly in the message Bible. I know the Message Bible isn't a Bible. I understand. Message says, I've always run for dear life straight to the arms of God. So why would I run away now when you say, run to the mountains, the evil bows are bent, the wicked arrows aimed to shoot under cover of darkness, and every heart open to God. Bottoms dropped out of the country. That isn't what I'm looking for, is it? Okay, I'm sorry. Run to the mountains. The evil bows are bent. The wicked arrows aim to shoot under covers of darkness at every open heart open to God. The bottoms dropped out of the country. Good people don't have a chance. What an interpretation that is. Unbelievable, because that's kind of true, isn't it? Yeah, again, here's kind of where I'm heading this way, even though I didn't plan it. Sometimes when I walk down my multimillion-dollar studio, which isn't multimillion-dollar, which is just an old basement, wooden steps. Sometimes when I walk down that thing, that the Lord kind of drops something in my spirit, man, says, talk about this. What I'm talking about now, I really wasn't planning on talking about. But let's jump in here real quick. Hey, Vinny out there, anybody out there, help me. What's the theme here at Coach Dave? Anybody know the theme?
Who told you that and why do you believe?
Who told you that and why do you believe them? 42,000 different denominations, each one believing what they're teaching is true. You go to a Pentecostal speaking in tongues, they're 100,000% convinced they're speaking in tongues. You go to a Baptist church and they say the people speaking in tongues are stupid and of the devil, right? Come on now. So who's the real arbiter of truth and how do we know? And that's really the debate. Love the government, don't love the government. Trust Donald Trump, don't trust Donald Trump. Love Joe Biden, don't love Joe Biden. I like the Beatles, don't like the Beatles. I mean, it's everywhere you look, folks. It's about personal opinions, personal comfort, and personal influences. Who told you that? And why do you believe them? So I guess I got some good stuff here. But who told you that? Why do you believe him? Did we really go to the moon? Have you ever? Let me swing back a little bit. What's the purpose of church? Is the purpose of church to go to church to learn more about God? Really? What's the purpose of church? The Bible says, forsake not the assembling of ourselves together, even more as we see that day approaching. Well, what would be that day? And if we see that day approaching, we should be assembling ourselves together. Hey, Spence, go to Mr. Webster a second. Believe it or not, when I walked down the steps, I wasn't going to say much today. It was going to be open forum Friday. Assemble. Assemble. Saying not the assembling to collect a number of individuals or particulars into one place. It's church. Or body. To bring or to call together, to convene, to congregate. To meet or come together. To convene as a number of individuals. But I look at it as in a different perspective. I'm sorry, my headphones keep. Like I've said Christmas morning when my kids were young and bought them something for Christmas and package, and they opened the package, and you open the package, it says some assembly required. Now, hang on a minute. Parts are all there. I have to collect a number of individual pictures into one place. They're all there. Open a box, they're all there. You walk into church, they're all there. They're all there. They're all assembled. But does anybody remember this? The thing that made America great was the guy who invented the assembly line. You guys remember that? And what was the assembly line? Boy, this is fresh from the Holy Spirit. What was the assembly line? Anybody work in a factory? Anybody ever work on an assembly line? Where you stood in your place and you did your one job. And then another part came, you did your one job, and 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 you did your one job. You were on the assembly line. Meaning what? You had a specific job to do, and you did it. Some assembly required. Forsake not the assembling of ourselves together even more as the day approaches. Do you leave your church? Hey, friends. I'm not trying to church bash. The church is Christianity. If we don't fix church, we're not going to fix the world. If we don't fix the church, we're not going to fix the world. Spencer, what is a church? This is all fresh. I hadn't done any, but what's a church? It's a house consecrated to the worship of God among Christians, the Lord's house. That'd be mine. That'd be here. That'd be right here where I live. This is that place consecrated to the Lord. The Greek to call out or call together denotes an assembly or collection. But Lord, a term applied by the early Christians to Jesus Christ, and the house in which they worshiped was named on the title. The collective body of Christians. But wait a minute. Collective body of Christians? Or of those who profess to believe in Christ and acknowledge him to be the savior of mankind. In this sense, the church is sometimes called the Catholic or universal church. A particular number of Christians united under one form of ecclesiastical government. In one creed, using the same ritual and ceremonies as the English church, the Gallican church, the Presbyterian church, the Romish church, the Greek church, the home church, the tomorrow church, right? We give titles to the assembling of ourselves together. Because those of us who assemble together because we share common beliefs. Right? Walk into a Pentecostal church, and they believe in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues, laying on the hands of the sick. You walk into the Baptist church, not so much. Not so much. They don't so much believe that stuff, right? So it's the old divide and conquer strategy. And as I look at the people who are in the queue here today, every one of us has a spiritual background. That's not the right word. Not a spiritual, that's not the right word. We have a religious background. We have a cultural religious background. We have a form of godliness that they taught us. They call Lutheran, Methodist, Baptist, a form, a different style of Christianity, if you will. But there's only one truth. Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth, if you know it's going to set you free. Well, how do you know it's true? And Satan is known as the father of lies. And truth be told, talked about yesterday about, excuse me, we spoke yesterday about, my brain just went dead on me, about assembling ourselves together in the church, and what is the church, and we're so far off. We are so far off of what church is supposed to be. Why? Because we have a hireling. We talked about that yesterday. A hireling. Spencer, pull that up there real quickly. Look, if you're a pastor, I'm not trying to make you feel bad. I'm on your side. I'm trying to help you open your eyes and see. Most guys teach what they're comfortable with. You can't teach what you don't know. One of the things we have to do is we have to come out of our closets, if you will, and expand our knowledge base and our vision and understand, you know what? I might have that wrong. I might have that wrong. A hireling is one who is hired, who serves for wages. The Bible calls it a hireling. And I don't know what you guys think. Usually, if you're a hireling, you do what your boss tells you to do. He gives you the job. And so if you're a hireling and you're pastoring a church or whatever, and you get the people against you, you ain't going to have a job very long. So the pastor, he may have some stuff he wants to talk about, but if he knows he says the wrong thing, Betty Two Shoes on the second row is going to be mad, and she might go someplace else, or even worse, she might stop giving. She might stop giving. It's his livelihood. Or just as bad, trapped in a shell. I remember when I first, let me do this, all right? I'm about the rest of it. I got born again on January 28th, 1988. I'd been in Catholicism my whole life. And this is not a rant on Catholicism. I could have said I was Baptist my whole life. I was Lutheran my whole life. Whatever. I just happened to be raised Catholic. And I knew I'd been trained in what the Catholic Church believed. Anybody else out there other than me walk into a Pentecostal church for the first time and about say, what the is going on here? Anybody ever happened to anybody other than me? And to walk into a Pentecostal church, people were raising their hands, music was playing, and I couldn't deny this. Sorry for the frog. They loved the Lord. In fact, they loved the Lord more. They were expressive about their love for the Lord more than I'd ever been. I'd been taught just bow your head and say a prayer to yourself. And just be humble and whatever. Don't ever dare share it with somebody else. So we come up with denominations, yada, 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 yada. And the theme here at Coach Dave Live is, who told you that and why do you believe it? Who told you that? So I went to this, Michelle and I got born again. I said, well, yeah. All of a sudden, as I tell people, it did for me like a phone booth does for Clark Kent. I became a brand new guy. Cost me a lot of friends. A lot of people today, I'm 70, 72, so I don't know how old I am. Some of my high school friends, they think I'm freaking crazy, probably. They remember the old me, the old crazy me. And now I'm not that old guy anymore. And they're scared. Some of them go to church. But they stay away from me. Something wrong with that guy. But you guys tracking with me? Because I'm telling you, it's happening to some of you out there too. Bible says, come out from among them and be separate and touch not the unclean thing. So God is about unification, but he's also about division. Have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. So here I've sat for 20 minutes and just kind of tried to bare my soul a little bit. I want you to know this. I don't know what's true. I mean, I know some things that are true, but I know some things that aren't true. Let me kind of make this lighthearted here a second, okay? Pull up Jim Carrey. First one there, Spencer. Hey, folks. Do you think we went to the moon? And why is it if I were to say, I'm not sure we went to the moon, that I would be called a conspiracy theorist, whatever it would be. Before I say that, how about this? President Trump having us in the Middle East, fighting a war in the Middle East, is going to make America stronger. What if I said, well, that's a conspiracy theory? See, anything we can't explain, we say, well, that's a conspiracy. It's a conspiracy. Hey, folks, it's all conspiracy. They conspire together. Now, as crazy as I saw this morning, and this video is not about the moon landing. Here's what the show's supposed to be about today. I haven't gotten there yet. What lies have you been taught that you believe still today to believe? And I'm going to come out publicly, Coach Dave Live, on the 21st day of July, 2026, and I'm going to say publicly, I don't think we went to the moon. Go ahead, play this.
That Neil Armstrong guy. Have you seen him on the talk shows?
Neil Armstrong, you mean the first man to walk on the moon?
Talk about a fish story.
Yeah.
Man, and they're buying it.
Mr. Armstrong, Bart Sibrel, ABC Digital. Wanted to give you the opportunity to swear on the Bible that you walked on the moon. Will you put your left hand on the Bible and swear to God that you walked on the moon?
Gentlemen. Mr. Sibrel.
Yes? If you really walked on the moon, why would you not do that? So why don't you just put the end to the record in the argument and put your hand on the Bible, swear to God you walked on the moon?
Mr. Sibrel, knowing you, that's probably a fake Bible.
Really? Well, no, it's the real Bible.
You have the opportunity to have $5,000.
The meeting is not open.
Well, you have $5,000 cash. You can give it to charity if you swear on the Bible that you walked on the moon. So why don't you put your hand on the Bible and swear to God that you walked on the moon?
Mr. Sibrel, you do not deserve answers.
Let's talk about this, because this is fascinating. I remember very clearly, I think anybody who was alive at the time does, I remember my parents waking me up, and we went down and we watched you guys land on the moon.
No, you didn't.
What?
Because there wasn't any television. There wasn't anybody taking a picture. You watched animation. So you associated what you saw.
Freeze that.
I have very...
You just said, I'm bringing you back to green screens, right? Green screens. What did he say? Animation. It was animation, he said. Go ahead.
Hazy memories.
Oh, I know.
Well, why has nobody been to the moon in such a long time?
That's not an 8-year-old's question. That's my question. I want to know, but I think I know. Because we didn't go there, and that's the way it happened. And if it didn't happen, it's nice to know why it didn't happen. Because there's no gravity. And I'm a diver, a scuba diver, and when you get down underneath the water, you're floating. And that's just like in space. Until you start to move, and then you make waves or...
Tell me, what do you say?
Thank you.
You are very, very welcome.
I'm sorry, Neil. You mean the first man to walk on the moon?
Talk about a fish story.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, so this is kind of conspiracy Tuesday morning conspiracy. And we'll give you a chance to come clean. Tell me something that you're not sure is true, that you've been taught. I'm going to wait. Something you've been taught.
The earth is a ball.
The earth is a ball. The earth is a ball. Wow. Okay. Go ahead. Somebody, come on. Come on. Something else. This is Confession Tuesday, where you're allowed to finally, for the first time, and say, you know what, Coach? I don't think I believe that anymore. I don't think I believe that. But you can't say it in church. You can't say, you know, places you can't say it. But if we really understand that Satan is the father of lies, and if we really believe that we are in a spiritual war, then we have to understand that one of the jobs and one of the purposes of Satan and his minions is to tell you stuff that is not true. By the way, the Bible tells us that Satan comes as an angel of light, meaning what? It looks good. It looks good. Huh? Those guys are on the moon, and they do a telephone call with Richard Nixon. Where's the phone line? Where are the cell phone towers? 93 million miles away, whatever it is. And they put it on TV. All the stations carried it. And everybody now believes we went on the moon. I'm not so sure. Joanne, what do you think? Come on in. This is open. This is, why would I say, Conspiracy Central Tuesday. Go ahead, Joanne.
That we're spinning at unbelievable speeds.
Yeah, how fast? We're spinning.
I sat outside for hours in the evening, and then the stars didn't, you know, rotate away from me. They moved a little bit, but not at however many miles an hour we're spinning. We should have rotated away from that. In our atmosphere.
Right? Right? Okay. Boy, you're a conspiracy theorist, aren't you? Huh? Like, as if there's something wrong with that, folks. That means you think. Huh? And how many, come on now, how many of you have had people tell you, quit listening to that Coach Dave, he's just a conspiracy theorist. He just does conspiracies. Hey, Spencer, Google that real quick. Oh, it's blowing up here. It's going to be good. Google it real quick, conspiracy.
And wouldn't we fly off if we were spinning that fast?
Wouldn't we get dizzy? When we got in the water, wouldn't it be different? What's a conspiracy? Conspiracy is an unlawful, the act of conspiring, a combination of persons for such harmful or evil persons. A conspiracy. Spencer, doesn't Webster tell us this? Webster'd be better. I like Mr. Webster before they got in and changed the words on us. Conspiracy. Excuse me, I don't know why I got a horse in my throat today. Conspiracy is a combination of men for an evil purpose. Huh? Yeah. An agreement between two or more persons to commit some crime in concert, particularly a combination to commit treason. For instance, like telling you that the Constitution says you have to pay the income tax. That's a conspiracy. It doesn't say that, folks. No. In law, it's agreement between two or more persons falsely, maliciously to indict or... hey, folks, it ain't no conspiracy theory that the FBI conspired to overthrow our government. That ain't a conspiracy theory. I mean, it starts out as a theory, but it's no longer a conspiracy theory. It's a conspiracy fact, right? And see, we can't prove the earth is flat because the scientists won't let us. They've been programmed. Fritz would tell us that. We can't prove we went to the moon because we don't have the technology to do. Are you with me? All conspiracies are controlled. Okay, tell us your story, not your life story. Come on in, James. Something they told you.
Hey, how you doing there, brother? I can hear the gang up
oh,
there.
Oh, wait, hang on. Dr. Paul Goslin says doctors are smart because they went to college. Boom, sure. Doc. Boom.
Yeah. That's pretty good.
He's an expert because he went to Harvard. He's a real expert because he went to Harvard. Go ahead, James.
Yeah, I can hear the gang up there saying, you've said this before.
Yep,
you know,
it's so important, though. It's so important, folks.
It is. Well, I see, you know, not necessarily, I don't conform to this world, so I don't look at worldly stuff.
Amen.
You know, so in regards to the church, the greatest disaster, and, you know, your testimony coming from a Catholic to a Pentecostal or a charismatic.
Amen. That's a
mega shift, brother. I'm telling you, going in and not necessarily Rob Parsley. I love Rob Parsley, but he could, you know, the thing about the charismatic or the Pentecostals is they get caught up in the flesh.
Amen.
I mean, you know, he's preaching. He's got the organ playing while he's preaching.
Got the smoke machines going off, right? Got the lights down. It's a stage, right?
Yeah,
how could you not believe him? There's 5,000 people in there with him. How could you not believe him?
But really, the saddest part is the lie of cessation theology.
Mm.
It's the apostate. It makes the church apostate. It really does. Jesus said that the latter rain is going to be better than the former rain.
Well, some churches believe that, though, James. Not everybody believes that now. Come on, JT.
I'm aware of that.
That's your version of the Bible. That's your version. That's your interpretation of it.
So when you have one scripture in the love chapter, 1 Corinthians 13, that says, mm-hmm. you know, this will cease, then the whole church buys into it and therefore becomes ineffective. Love you, brother.
Yeah, but James, you got to realize something. I come from a long line of pastors. My dad was a pastor and my grandpa was a pastor. And we've just got this lineage of truth that runs through our family, James. So you're going to have to understand that. Alan Zeifer, come on in, Alan.
Once saved, always saved.
Coach. Once saved, always saved. Once saved, always saved. Huh? In other words, you can get saved and you can go out and you can do anything you want to. You're saved. Huh? People believe that. Can I tell you something? I was trained that the only way you get saved was to be a Catholic. You couldn't be saved outside of the Catholic Church. That's what they taught me. Huh? Yeah. I grew up in a mixed family. My mom was a mutt, a Protestant mutt. My dad was a casual Catholic. And so we went to the Catholic Church because when dad got married, when they got married, mom had to vow to raise the children as Catholics. And so she was going to the Church of Christ. She was going to, she was church hopping every Sunday. And we went to church with my dad. And I'm going to tell you something. I don't think my dad understood Catholicism. He was just raised in it, passed it to us. We'd do it, sit there, shut up, listen to the priest, do what he says, acts of contrition, signs of the cross, make for them. I grew up in that. I don't know if it's wrong or not. I just know this. Somebody taught it to me. Joe Allen, come on in, Joe. I'll shut up. I'm sorry. I'm going to shut up. I want to hear from y'all. Go ahead, Joe. Hey, yeah, Joe, tell us your story, not your life story. Go ahead.
This is from a 20-year-old Navy vet. World conspiracy is not flat. They told the same thing to Christopher Columbus when he was going out, that he was going to fall off the earth. Enough said.
So, Joe, I didn't understand. You think the earth is flat or not? What do you think?
Nope.
You think it's a globe? Okay, cool. Jack, what do you think? Come on, Jack. You don't have to talk about the flat earth. What do you think, Jack? Come on.
Yep, I'm going with the globe. But okay. let's stick with conspiracies that we can prove. How about the Warren Commission and Arlen Specter's magic bullet theory?
We can show that. Still, hey,
okay.
Jack, still today, however many years later, they still won't tell us the truth about that, will they, Jack?
Of course not. But we can see that. We can demonstrate that. Okay. And the thing about, oh, we're spinning on a thing, and so we should be flying off. Well, when you're flying along, coach, from Chicago to down to Sea Dale in Louisiana, and you're doing 450 miles an hour in that airplane, and you jump, you should be slammed against the back of the building, right? Back of the plane, right? No, it doesn't work that way. No, it doesn't work that way. Come on. Wake up, folks.
Hey, listen. If I jumped out of the plane, why would I need a parachute? It's just to keep me from hitting the ground. Other than that, I don't
know. There's no gravity. There's no gravity. It would just float like a leaf.
That's right.
And sting like a butterfly or some stupid thing. Let's make up something dumb.
Dave Allison, come on in, Dave. Tell us something, bud. Come on.
Yeah, good morning. Hey, it's all relative. Spencer, go back to Psalm 11, please.
We're there. What do you want?
Okay, scroll down so we can read it. Okay. In the Lord I put my trust. That's the first thing. That's the very first thing he says. And coaches, this is all relative because go down to verse 3. It says, if the foundation be destroyed. What is the foundation? Verse 1, in the Lord I put my trust. So what we're dealing with here is once that foundation is destroyed, that trust that we put in man, that's destroyed, what do we do now? Right? We're left with, where do we go? What can we do? You see what I'm saying? That's why you're talking about, did we go to the moon? If we didn't, that destroys the trust, right? Yes. That's what we're dealing with here.
Dave, it goes back to the Kennedy assassination. Same thing. You mean 70 years later, they still won't tell us the truth? 60 years later, they still won't tell us the truth?
So if that foundation is destroyed, what can we build on? We've been building on lies for a long time. Look where it's got us.
So, Dave, why won't they tell us the truth about the Kennedy assassination? Why won't they tell us the truth? I'll tell you why. Because it'll expose the dark side. It'll make conspiracy theories no longer appear to be theories. Like I said, I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I'm a conspiracy analyst. Hey, folks. COVID was a government op. You know that, right? Tell me you know that. COVID was a government operation. It was a depopulation government operation. Roger Burns, go on in, Roger.
Coach, this is a tough one for me. I used to be a Kansas City Chiefs season ticket holder, but sports are absolutely rigged. And I can tell you a quick story. When Tom Brady got the quarterback ahead, Drew Bledsoe.
Yeah.
When he got hurt, it was like a week or two after 9/11. And his number is number 11, kind of like the Twin Towers. And Mo Lewis of the Jets is the one that hit him and took him out, kind of like a jet hitting the towers.
Gotcha.
And the very next week, Tom Brady entered, and they went on a winning streak for, years and years and years, Super Bowls.
Yeah.
And what happened right after that? They entered the Patriot Act. So they're using sports to tell stories.
They are.
It's disgusting to me. I could go on for days telling different stories like that, but that's the best one. So
trust but verify, right, Roger? At the bottom line, trust but verify.
That's right.
Huh? Who told you that? And why do you believe them?
And when you start, I learned from you to look for truth. And when you start looking for things, you see it. It's everywhere.
Yep.
And I think back to when George Foreman won the boxing title against Holyfield, I think it was. He was an old man. I'm like, how did that old man just win that? He didn't.
He didn't, did he? No. It's unbelievable, right? Unbelievable. And then, see, we've been so programmed to believe what they tell us on the television. By the way, tell a vision, right? We've been so programmed to believe that. And then going to our public schools and being taught the same thing. Everywhere you look, being taught the same thing. And if I stand up and say, wait a minute, I don't think we went to the moon, then it's whack-a-mole time for Coach Dave, right? He's a conspiracy theorist. Meaning the last thing they want you to do is think for yourself. P.S., come on in.
Hey, can we get a live camera of Russia right now?
I don't know.
Would it be dark over there? Why is there time zones? Why isn't it sunny? Why isn't it 7 o'clock in Russia right now? 7 a.m. 7:39.
Because that's the way it's always been. I guess I don't know. What?
But if the Earth was flat, everywhere would be sunny right now.
If the Earth was flat, every place would be sunny.
At same time, right?
Wow. We see, here's the thing. They won't even have an open discussion for us about it. They won't even give us an open discussion. Okay, hang on, hang on. You ready? Can I give you a conspiracy theory? Johnny, I'll be right with you. Go ahead. Johnny, I got to do this or I'll forget, okay? Hey, Johnny. Or Spencer, pull up number four. Pull up number four. Hang on now. Hang on. Hang on. Why do you pay taxes? Why do you pay income taxes? So, well, the law says so. Really? The law says you have to pay income tax? What law, pardon me, what law would that be? Would that be the 13th Amendment? It was never ratified. Is that what you're talking about? And would it be, somebody help me out here. Doesn't the IRS operate through fear? It's supposed to be, Constitution calls it voluntary compliance. In other words, you voluntarily pay your income tax. But if you don't voluntarily pay your income tax, they threaten you with throwing you in jail, don't they? So it's not voluntary. Words have meaning, see. See, I decided I wasn't going to volunteer. Hey, by the way, Mr. Government, send me a bill. You send me a bill, and then I'll consider paying it. But I'll be damned if I'm going to tell you. It's none of your business how much money I made. Here's Joe Bannister. I don't know if you guys know Joe Bannister. Joe Bannister is a former IRS agent. Who says the whole thing's a scam? He's been saying it as long as I've been doing podcasts. Joe Bannister has been telling us all, what is wrong with you guys? Why are you paying income tax? Well, there's one reason you're paying income tax. You're afraid. You're afraid not to. What's Joe Bannister saying? Well, then play.
Where did this all start, Joe? I mean, I know we goes back to the 1913 Federal Reserve Act. And then, of course, when taxes were first introduced in income tax, it was supposed to be temporary, right?
There was a income tax attempt in the late 1800s that was declared unconstitutional. So for a 20, 30-year period, they went back to the drawing board, you know, the bankers and everyone. How do we need to extract more money from the people? And so in 1913, the 16th Amendment was proposed and offered out for ratification. The evidence shows that the 16th Amendment was not ratified. It was or fraudulently ratified. So really the income tax was a bastard child from the moment of inception in 1913. And then, as you mentioned, the Federal Reserve Act was also passed in the exact same year, not a coincidence. But by 1916, the Supreme Court actually ruled that the 16th Amendment, the Income Tax Amendment, did not expand federal taxing power. So for all that effort of getting an income tax amendment to the Constitution that was fraudulently ratified anyway, but even if it was legitimately ratified, the Supreme Court said there's no new power. Whatever power the federal government had before the 16th Amendment is the same as after. And that's actually where the beginnings of the obfuscation, shall we say, in 1916, where the paper trail that I've reviewed starts. And what happens is the government, the Treasury, with the Congress, began to obscure in the actual written laws who was actually required to pay it. And then when World War II came along, you have all the propaganda relating to funding the war, but then after the war, all the debt, and, you know, we need to pay off the war debts, and everybody needs to get in and help row the boat. And that's when withholding became ubiquitous, withholding from people's paychecks. So it's been a very slow process. But then, of course, you know, one generation to the next, it's like, well, my parents filed a tax return. I got to do that too, right? And so
You know, you can't do anything without it, right? You can't get a mortgage on a home or, you know, many other things because people want to see your tax returns. So it's really still quite a powerful weapon of control.
All right, Spencer, pull up 16th Amendment. Folks, I'm not telling you not to pay your taxes. I'm just telling you don't have to. 16th Amendment. The Congress shall have power to lay and collect taxes on incomes from whatever sources derived without apportionment among the several states and without regard to any census or enumeration. It was never ratified. 16th Amendment. What does that mean? Congress shall have the power to lay and collect taxes on incomes from whatever sources. You talk about something pretty broad. Without apportionment among the several states, without regard to any census or enumeration. 16th Amendment never ratified. The income tax is illegal, but they'll throw you in jail if you don't follow it. And everybody believes the lie that they have to pay taxes. No, no, no. They have to file taxes. They have to report themselves, tell the government how much money. And how about this? Withholding? You go to work and you earn money and they take it before you even get it? What? That's a rigged system. Who do I want in here? James, come on in. JT, then Jack.
Oh, I forgot to put my hand down. This show is amazing. You know, I'm ever more than, I got a freaking PhD in coachology. Amen.
But James, at the bottom, folks, trust but verify. Check out what I'm telling you, right? I'm not lying to you. They're lying to us, and we believe it. We believe it.
Why? I know. I do know this. If you live your life in Messiah, you will live a life more abundant. Amen.
Amen, amen on that one. Jack, come on in. I'm okay, right up your alley today, right, Jack?
Oh, this is right up my alley, okay. Okay, so you just heard what Joe said, and... You know where his trial was when they actually took him to court?
Joe Bannister, you're talking about. Joe Bannister.
Joe Bannister. You know where his trial was?
Afraid to ask.
It was on Treasure Island. Why was it on Treasure Island? Because it's a military base in the middle of the San Francisco Bay, and it limited who could actually access that court hearing.
Mm.
Ah, my goodness. Okay, now, you got on the screen the 16th Amendment. And it says income from whatever source derived. And what do? Here's the wording, coach. This is a coach words. Income from whatever source derived. And we focus on from whatever source derived without going to the definition, the IRS definition of income. Income is gain or profit. And so if you go back to what Bannister said, nothing changed because of the 16th Amendment. They got so no Jack, new power.
So Jack, hang on. So when I go to work, I don't make money. I trade my labor for money.
It's an exchange.
It's an exchange.
Right. But what they can tax is profit or gain, in which they were able to tax profit or gain before the 16th Amendment.
Yeah, and inflation. Here we go, right?
Huh? That's the big tax.
There we go. There we go. There we go. Oh, this is so good.
This is fun. That's fun. If you can't play with the words, got to play with the words.
Got to play. Words have meaning, don't they? Words have meaning. Come on, folks. Huh?
Okay, Paul. Hey. Paul just put in there that slavery was never abolished. The slavery was put into universal by the 14th Amendment. It made us all equally slaves under the law.
Amen. So, Jack, when I'm paying taxes, I'm paying to the slave owner.
Absolutely.
Huh? Yeah, that's right, right? Oh, no, they tell you it's for what? Anyway, this is good, isn't it?
It's for the children. It's just for the children.
Amen. Hey, Paul, I got one. Hang on, Jack. Johnny, hang on. Paul, I got one. Or Johnny, hang on. Go ahead, Johnny. Then I got, get number two ready for me, Spence. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just wondered, Trump is always barking about how we're the largest supplier of oil on the earth. Am I dreaming? Is that true? Did he say that? He did say that, right?
I don't know. They told us he did.
So why do we hear that our reserves are low and why are gas prices so high?
Uh-huh.
I mean, why do gas prices have to go up during a war? And maybe I'm just not very well educated, but if we have so much oil, if we have more oil than anybody else on the face of the earth, there's no reason for prices to go up.
No. Well, then it's convenient, right? It's convenient.
I'm just wondering. Maybe maybe I don't understand.
Yeah, you don't understand. Quit asking those damn questions. Where you fall in line, the government's here to protect you. You know that, right? So how about this one, Paul? I was thinking of you, Dr. Paul. Doctor's lifespan is 56 years old, and doctors kill 15 million patients a year. Go ahead.
Basically, the average lifespan of medical doctors, according to their own survey, which came out in 1999, is 56. And so why would anybody want to listen to a group of people whose average lifespan is 56 to live to be 100? It was from the Institute of Medicine, the Journal of the American Medical Association, the Centers for Disease Control, and they said that medical doctors each year, this is a yearly figure, kill, injure, and infect 15 million patients in hospitals and clinics across America alone.
Can you repeat that statistic one more time, please?
They kill, injure, and infect 15 million patients in hospitals and clinics each year in America alone. And so how many people would fly commercial airlines if they knew that they killed, injured, and infected 15 million people? How many people would go to a fast food restaurant if they knew they killed, injured, and infected 15 million customers? And so I thought it was quite interesting, since the medical system has been able to wiggle themselves into a protected monopoly that is self-policing since 1914, following a report called the Flexner Report. Basically, the
Dr. Paul, they disbarred you. They had to get rid of you because you questioned mainstream medicine. Would that be true, Paul?
Yeah, it's been true for a long time, Coach, but I'm like a bad penny. I don't go away.
But hey, Paul, but the truth is they make you out to be the kook. Not the guys that are giving you pills and making you sicker than you were, right?
You know, when that didn't work, they just shot me, Coach. So it is a spiritual war, Coach.
It's spiritual, man. George Howard, go ahead, George.
No, Coach, I'm the kook.
You are. We're all kooks here, right?
I'm the kook. You know, I'm the chiropractor. And I mean, I live longer than they do. So
we hope so. Oh, my goodness. We're so pro. Folks, there's a devil. There's a devil loose. Lies, deception, and fear. Oh, my. Lies, deception, and fear. Okay, I got one for you here. Okay. Pull up number three. Got some bad language. Got some bad language. Somebody help me out here. This just happened to me just the other day. You know, the freeway, Route 70's over, I-70's, right? If I threw the stone three times, I could hit a truck on I-70. It goes right by my shoo, shoo, shoo. And I was driving to Zanesville the other day, which is right out. And what do I run into? There sits a cop with a radar. There sits a cop with a radar. With everything going on in the world, he's worried about speeding. Now, we know this. He's not worried about speeding. It's a revenue enhancer. It's a revenue enhancer. Around I-70, every interstate in the world was made for people to go 100 miles an hour. They got two lanes. If they gave people tickets for driving in the passing lane, our congestion would get a lot better. People's accidents are caused because people are driving 80 miles an hour behind somebody who's going 60 in the passing lane. And so they try to get around them, and the guy's breaking the law is the guy in the passing lane. You with me? You with me? Okay, so here we go. This is bad language. Hold your ears. Hold your ears. Bad language. Go ahead. Got a city council meeting.
So please don't violate my rights. Normally, I wouldn't come to a city council meeting. I'm one of the county's pains in the ass. Historically, I stay out of the city, and the city stays out of my business. It was a pretty decent arrangement. But then y'all sent me one of these tickets from one of your AI red light cameras you have deemed as necessary infrastructure in your city. Thing about this is I was in Seminole, Alabama at the time I allegedly ran this red light downtown. How can I be in two places at once, you ask? Don't worry, I asked myself that too. Outside of Scotty beating me up 30 miles in an instant, the only logical conclusion is I wasn't there. These things have been deemed unconstitutional for this reason, because the enforcement action of 316.0083 unduly shifts the burden of proof to the vehicle owner, me, to prove my innocence rather than the state having to prove my guilt. Currently, I'm guilty by default. I've been convicted by a computer program. Usually this whole mess of who committed the infraction is settled by a police officer pulling somebody over and actually witnessing them in the driver's seat. The AI camera doesn't do any driver verification whatsoever. To get your constitutionally mandated due process, you have to jump through hoops put up by Automated Enforcement Division, a private company in Orlando that's owned by another corporation called Novoa Global, which is owned by a Chilean-Swedish millionaire named Carlos Hofstadt. So not only does this process flow through a private company, our DMV records and personal registration information are accessible by a foreign actor. But anyway, AED sends you this paper, and if you want to fight this thing because you are wrongfully accused, me again, you can't just request a hearing through PPD or the courthouse. Remember, Carlos is involved, so if you have to go through his company, his website, print off his paper, fill it out with enough information to take out a home loan, have it notarized, mail it to the foreign actor, Carlos in Orlando, and then wait for something from someone to tell you about a hearing. This is undue burden even to begin to try to get some kind of due process. Paying is super easy, though. Go figure. And about that, you can't pay cash. PPD doesn't accept it, and neither does Carlos. According to 31 USC 5103, all U.S. currency and coins must be accepted for all government obligations, fines, fees, taxes, and due. So not only does this whole thing violate constitutional due process, it violates federal law by not accepting U.S. currency to satisfy a government action. Whoever thought this was a good idea is a self-loathing, America-hating, bureaucratic hobgoblin whose pockets probably got stacked with Carlos bucks. You got my attention, though. I'm going to become a more frequent voice down here working to expose frauds and petty tyrants. Congratulations. You all got yourselves a new pain in the ass.
I got another one. We won't share. Jack, come on in quickly. Just got a few minutes here, Jack.
Oh, I can't do anything but amen, amen, amen. Uh-huh. That kid's got it. If we would talk about that instead of the ice wall or the flat, whatever the heck, maybe we'd get somewhere.
That's right. Let's learn
the law. I put it in there. It's the same as he just did. I put it in the chat. No state shall make anything but gold or silver coin tender payment of debt. That's supreme law. Learn it, quote it, and shut up. Don't put your opinion in there. It's the law. Quote it. Exodus 18:20. Teach them the law and what they should do with it.
So here's the problem. Boom. Thanks, Jack. Boom is right. Here's our problem, friends. We look at what's going on. I got 3 minutes left here. We look at what's going on. Epstein list, Russia. Pick whatever it is. The American people know this one thing. We will never see justice. We will never see justice for, are you ready? The lawmakers. See, the lawmakers don't have to obey the laws. They exempt themselves from it. And at the heart of all lawmaking is revenue enhancing. All of it is to get into your pocket. And if you violate one of the laws that they've made, now you got to go get an attorney. You're going to have to pay him thousands of dollars to defend you against something that you didn't even do that was wrong. Because you are, in America, guilty until proven innocent. Somebody think I'm wrong? Huh? You mean to tell me they can lock you up? J6, they can lock those guys up for 6 months, 2 years without ever having a trial. The Constitution gives us a right to a speedy trial. Speedy trial. Bill Dunphy, how long was Bill Dunphy in jail? How long? Quickly, Alan, come on in.
And that's why Jesus said, woe unto you lawyers.
Amen. Amen. Hey, folks. I don't want free health care. I want free legal care. How about that? Wouldn't that be better? Dr. Paul, come on in.
I wouldn't want either, Coach. I'm about 200,000 into it and no speedy trial. So today, my lawyer and I are going to insist on a 30-30 speedy trial. They've just been
They're running the clock out on you, right? Right, Paul?
Yeah, they're hoping I die at 57, but I'm 65. So there you go, Coach. I'm still around.
They're gonna break you. They're gonna break you financially. Even when you get justice, they're gonna break you financially to get it.
Hey, Coach, when you're in jail, maimed, you can't move. Yeah, that breaks you, Coach. Mm-hmm. I mean, I lost my shape there for a little while, but that's what God does, right?
Amen.
He brings you some strength.
So, folks, we're in a war, and this war is a spiritual war, and it's not going to be won if we don't stand up and fight back. And you're going to go to your church, and your pastor's going to say, don't get involved with politics. Well, if you don't get involved with politics, who makes the rules? Would somebody explain that to me? If you Christians don't get involved in politics, does that mean people who aren't Christians make the rules? Would that be safe to say? I think so. How dumb are we? See you tomorrow.